Take your Bible tonight, if you would, please, and open up to Proverbs chapter number 16. Proverbs chapter number 16. Tonight, we're going to start with verse number 1. We've been studying the book of Proverbs for many, many weeks now. And the book of Proverbs has been a tremendous help to me, I know, and others that have spoken to me about things that they've learned from the book of Proverbs. It's God's book of wisdom. It's not so much what God thinks as God gives us a manual to know how to respond to everyday, ordinary, minute by minute, day by day situations in our life. It's God's view of how we're supposed to live. Why He created us, how He created us, how He expects us to perform because we are His creation. So Proverbs chapter number 16, we're going to start with verse number 1. Let's all stand in reverence and respect to the Word of God. As I read aloud verses 1 through 3, you read with me silently. The preparations of the heart in man and the answers of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. As you know, as we go through the book of Proverbs now, in this section of the book of Proverbs, we're not looking at everything verse by verse, so we're going to look at a few things here and move on throughout the chapter of things that God has for us. We see a lot of things repeated in the book of Proverbs because God is showing us the importance of these things. We see right at the beginning of chapter 16 a reference to speech, how to speak. And we found out that in the last chapter, I believe there are 4 verses. Let me look here just for a second. 6 verses in the chapter about proper speech. And so God continues that line. We're going to look at verse number 1. But we won't look at all the verses in this chapter because there are many things for us to learn. And I want to encourage you to go home and study the book of Proverbs. Read it in detail. Apply these simple teachings of the Word of God to your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this opportunity you've given us to study your Word. Holy Spirit, meet with us in a very special way. Teach us the things that we must have in our life to do the right thing on a daily basis, but not just daily, not just hourly, but moment by moment you give us ways to affect this world for your honor and for your glory. So, Lord, I ask that you'd help us to apply them to our life, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The preparations in verse 1, you may be seated. I'm sorry, you may be seated. And verse number 1, the preparations of the heart in man, and the answer from the tongue is from the Lord. God renews His grace in us on a daily basis. And as we prepare our heart to walk with Him and to learn from Him, it affects our actions. It affects our heart. It prepares our heart. What's in our heart truly is what ends up to come out of our mouth. Now, not every word that comes out of our mouth is truly in the depth of our heart. But as we are preparing and we're careful in our answer, God teaches us that we will seek the right things. Let me put it this way. This is teaching us that we're not sufficient in ourselves to come up with the answers that we need to off the top of our head. We need to be careful in our speech. We've talked about this in the past. We need to be cautious in the way that we respond to people. And the best thing that we have from God is that if we will seek Him, if we'll prepare our hearts with Him, then He, the Lord, will give us the answer to give of our tongue. Let me illustrate. Oftentimes I want to pop off and say what I think, do what I think I need to do, take the actions I need to take. But the truth is I have to step back and think for a few moments, how is this going to affect others? How is this going to affect my relationship with the Lord? How is this going to affect someone else's relationship with the Lord because of how I respond. And so God is teaching us that we need to have our heart prepared as we give an answer. We need to seek Him. This teaches us that we can't do it on our own. We must think and walk with Him and follow His teachings, and then we'll get the right kind of answer. So the preparation of the heart in man. So it's important for us to prepare our heart, even when we go to respond to somebody, even if it's an off-the-cuff response. Stop. Think. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you, to teach you, to guide you, to help you make the right kind of statement. Even though we may be having emotions greatly run through our body at the time. It takes tremendous discipline to do the right thing. But doing the right thing is always the right thing to do. So we need God's help and we need His power to have the right answers. Verse number 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. I find this to be an amazing statement. This isn't the first time we find it in the Word of God that the man thinks his ways are right, but it just amazes me how accurate the Word of God is when it comes to our behavior. God judges the heart of a person, not our behavior. The ways of man are clean in his own eyes. We always justify what we do. It doesn't matter, saved or unsaved. We think we're right in doing what we are doing because we think we're right. We already decided that we have the answer and we're just doing what we think we need to do. However, that's not the way that God looks at it. He says all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. But they didn't say in God's eyes, in our own eyes. So it's easy for me to justify anything I do, whether it's right or whether it's wrong. It's easy for me to point the finger at somebody else for doing wrong, while I may be doing other wrong, maybe not the same wrong, but other wrong that's just as wrong as the wrong that they're doing. And so it's easy for me to justify my behavior. But God doesn't look at our behavior for a judgment upon us. He realizes that we've already justified ourselves. So here's what it says. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. God looks at our life, and He makes a decision based upon our heart of why we acted like we did. The word weigh in verse number 2 implies the way we live, or the life we live, or our mode of action, the way we are living, or how we behave. We should not look at what people do when they're trying to do right, because we do not know their heart. We should not then try to mimic people's actions, because they themselves don't even know if they're truly right. They're making a judgment based on what they think. So what we need to do is base our life and the way we behave ourselves on God's Word and not on others. I know that we need to have heroes, but heroes don't always make the right decisions. We need to not look at other people's decisions in life and say, I need to make that same decision. We need to look at the Word of God in our life and base our decisions of life, our way, our direction, the way we live, our mode of action, upon the Word of God. Because God knows our hearts, and He knows how sincere we are to do the right thing or how insincere we are to do the right thing. He knows whether we're trying to justify our sin or if we're just trying to do right and maybe we're not doing it exactly as somebody else may do it. So don't look at other people to judge yourself. Don't look at others and judge them. Because we don't know their heart. And they may not even know their heart. And we might not even know our heart. We might just be trying to do the very best we can and in the ways we think we can do it. And so we don't have the right to judge another Christian because we're not going to do it well because we do not know their heart. Some people say that the heart means the motives. I don't know. I know this. I know that God knows my heart. He knows my desire to serve Him. He knows my weaknesses. He knows my complexities. He knows my personality. He made me and put me on this earth at this time and gave me the parents He gave me and put me in the city He put me in and put me in the time in which He put me in on purpose. He has a reason for my life just as He has a reason for your life. And He puts you in this place at this time for a purpose. And He knows our heart better than we know ourselves. And He will lead us the right way if we'll yield to Him. But I can't judge other people. I don't have that right. He's the only one that knows their heart. Some people are extremely sincere. They're sincerely wrong, but they're extremely sincere. And so we need to put judgment of our life according to the Word of God. We need to weigh our life according to the Word of God. When you build a house, you want to find out if the wall is straight. You drop what's called a plumb line. A plumb line is a line that's connected to a weight that's connected to a string. And that string drops down and it gives you a straight line because of gravity. And you can figure out if something's straight or crooked based upon the plumb line that's there. And the truth is our plumb line doesn't need to be somebody else. Our plumb line needs to be the Word of God. I can look at my life and say, I think I'm pretty good. And I may be right. I may be wrong. I know I've built homes before and I've put walls together and I've put the wall up and I've said to myself, that looks straight. And then I've dropped a plumb line and I find I'm out of level. I'm out of line. And I need to make an adjustment to fix that. If I continue to go that direction, then my house is not going to be built plumb. It's not going to be built straight. It's going to be crooked. I'm going to have other issues that take place as the house continues to build because I'm going to have to constantly make adjustments that I shouldn't have to make because I didn't plumb my wall to begin with. So I need to make sure I'm straight. The plumb line's the only thing that tells me that. I can try a level. A level will also tell me that. But the purpose of a plumb line is to make sure it's completely straight. Sometimes I think something's level. I'll put a level on it, and it seems to be right. Then I'll put a plumb line on it and see there still needs to be an adjustment. And the truth is that we need to use the plumb line of the Word of God to adjust our life so we're walking in the right way according to the Word of God, not according to our view, not according to somebody else's view, not according to somebody else's way, but according to God's Word. And the only one that truly knows your heart and the only one that truly knows my heart is God. That's why verse 1 is so important. Verse 1 again tells us the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So if I prepare my heart well, if I walk with God, I use Him as my plumb line, I will be more often correct with what I say than if I just shoot from the hip. We'll talk more about that in weeks to come. Verse number 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit thy works. That means I need to put my works or commit my works or purpose my works. I need to commit myself. Enroll my cares and burdens upon the Lord and leave them with Him in faith, depending on Him. Commit thy works unto the Lord. And it'll affect my thought life. If I commit my thoughts to the world, to sin, then sin will end up to be my thought life. We live in the year 2013 here, and there's some issues in our country and with people that maybe, I don't know, maybe other generations haven't had to tolerate as much. I'll use one example. Pornography. Years ago, at the turn of the century, I read a book called Pornography, The Drug of the New Millennium. In it, it teaches that our mind is actually, our brain functions are actually affected by the pornography that people look at. And the truth is that pornography, it can be found online so easily, and so many men are addicted to pornographic sites. I say men, but there may be many, many women who are addicted to them as well. I have just worked many times with men, and I know other pastors that have worked many times with men, and it is an addiction. And it affects the way a person's brain functions. It's amazing, but this book proves how that the mind, the brain itself, and the way it connects memories actually changes because of what man sees in front of him all the time. I believe this verse here, in verse number 3, is teaching us the same thing. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The more we do the right things, and see the right things, and go the right directions, and get the right verbiage in our language, as we stay in church, and we read the Word of God, and we hear the Word of God, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The Bible tells us that the preaching of the Word of God is foolishness to the world, but it changes our lives. The more we hear the Word of God, the more it changes us. So as we hear these things and see these things and commune these things in our life and bring them as a part of our life and commit our works, our ways, our behavior, our thoughts, our ways of life, the things we watch, the places we go and the things that we do, and we commit these to the Lord, then it'll affect the way we think. It affects our thoughts to establish them in the right direction. Just as pornography will hurt us, the Word of God will help us. Just as if you're around swearing all the time, you're going to end up to swear more. When you're around deceit all the time, you're going to think about people being deceitful more often. So environment truly affects the way you think and the way I think. So it's important then that we do the right thing and act the right way. So we put our burdens and cares and thoughts and actions upon the Lord and allow Him to direct us by faith and be dependent upon Him. In the directions we go, we'll end up to have our thinking changed, and thus even our speech will change. Verse number 12 now. Let's drop down to verse number 12. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. Verse number 12 is a unique verse. That's where we're going to look at it today. There's more things about the king and so on in this chapter, but our behavior is talked about quite a bit, but we want to look here at verse 13. The ruler needs to use his power correctly, and he will find security in his future. And it's an abomination to a king to commit wickedness. I believe this is teaching us that the rulers then are responsible to God, and their future is dependent upon how they behave. But I also believe it teaches us more than that. I think it teaches you and I, the higher we go in life, the more responsible we become for our actions. It doesn't matter to what position you aspire to, but the higher your position, the more responsible you are to act the right way, because it'll affect your future. For example, I became a parent. My position in life went up higher, from being a child to being a parent, to being an individual, now to being a husband and a father. When I did that, when that happened in my life, my responsibilities became bigger. When those responsibilities became bigger, it was more important for me to act right, to establish the future, not just for myself, but for my children and for our family. Because my actions affect my children. Your actions affect your children. You teach them the wrong direction to go, they're going to follow that wrong direction. Now, that may change in their life later on, but right at the beginning of it, it's not going to. And you're going to affect the behavior of your child tremendously. I believe it teaches us also, as we go higher in life, the more position, the higher position in life you get, the more responsible you are. Someone who is an employee of a company has a responsibility, but when you become a manager of that company, then maybe you become an executive in that company, your behavior affects the multitude of people, not just yourself. It may be that an employee who works on a line in a manufacturing job is just going to affect him, and maybe some small parts that they make will affect others that use the parts that they manufacture. However, there will be a quality control system in place, and there are other people that are involved with that. And maybe that part that you're not making right, or the job you're not doing well, can be caught. But when an executive makes a major error, it can affect the lives of everybody that works there and the lives of those people who take that which is manufactured and use it in their life. So it doesn't matter. The higher you go in life, the more responsible we become for our actions. I also think it teaches to the degree that you mature in Christ, the worse it is for us to sin. The more damage it causes to the world, for example, when a pastor falls into sin, and unfortunately, it seems to happen in this generation much more than I ever thought it would happen in any generation. And I don't know if this generation is any different from any previous generation. I've only lived in this one. But it breaks my heart to see how many preachers end up in sin, sexual sin especially. And because of their position in life, the worse it has become for those who sat under their ministry when they sinned. So to the degree that you mature in Christ, the worse it is, and the more damage we cause to the cause of Christ and the lives of others because of the sin we commit. So it's important then that as we walk with Christ, we realize that it's important, our leadership is important, that God has placed us in, that we may not be a king, but there may be an area that you're a king of or a ruler of or somebody who manages somebody else. And we must make sure that we commit our ways before the Lord to use them right and do our best to walk in the right way and not to sin. Verse number 17 and 18, and then we'll stop for tonight. The way of the upright is to depart from evil, and he that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I believe these two verses are connected to each other. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. It's important then that we understand that a sincerely religious man keeps his distance from the appearance of evil, from the working of sin. Because we'll be happier in Jesus Christ when we walk with Him and we're led by the Spirit than when we're led by ourselves or our flesh. When men defy God's judgment, we think of ourselves far higher than God, and it shows that we're really at a door of destruction instead of the door of righteousness. So let us fear the pride of ourselves and others. But not, I'm not going to worry about others' pride. I need to worry about my pride because that's what causes me or you to fall. There are actually three different roads listed here. We're going to get those to you really quick. First is the upright. The upright are those who are not proud and do not have a haughty spirit. God makes the highway to escape from the evil or sin for them and evil of others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." God makes a way for righteous people not to do wrong. He gives us an avenue to go down, a road to go down. God's people who want to do the right thing have a highway to do right. If you have a hard time doing right, then you're not upright. Let's look at our verse again. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. So that is the road that I'm supposed to be on. That's the road that you're supposed to be on. So God has given you, has given us a statement in 1 Corinthians to encourage us to understand there is no temptation that you and I go through, but that's common. Everybody goes through it. But with the temptation, because we have a faithful God, when that temptation comes, we'll be able to bear it when we depend on Him. And so I can get through the difficulties of life when I depend on Him. God makes it easy for those who have an upright heart to do right because He makes it a broad way for us to walk down and puts us on a highway that keeps us safe because God gives you a way to escape. All right, the second road. Pride is pictured here in verse 18 as a way. Pride goeth before destruction. The word goeth is referring to a way. This pictures a person full of pride walking down the street. Destruction is in front of them. It may be the bridges out, if you will. It might be nails in the road. There's something down the road that's going to cause him destruction. He's right in front of it. And pride is a direction or a way in which we go that's going to destroy us. When you do right with God, He'll keep you from problems that lay in front of you. And He'll keep us humble. Remember, the opposite of pride is humility. Humility does not mean to think of yourself abased. Humility means to wholly and completely depend on God. So when I'm full of pride, I'm depending on me. But when I'm humble myself, I am then depending on God. So I need to humble myself and realize that I cannot work on these things on my own. I must seek God. So, listen, God loves you. He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, for you and I so that we go to heaven. He saved us by grace. And He says, I've got a way for you to follow. Humble yourselves. Just depend on me. I'll take care of you. You know, that's what a parent says to their child. And the younger the child, the more dependent that child is. Again, I've said this before. I believe a Christian grows the opposite direction in which a child grows. A child grows from total dependency to independence from their parents. A Christian goes from independence from God to dependence on God. We go the opposite direction. And the more we grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ, the more we become dependent on Him. My question is what do you do? Are you dependent on yourself or are you dependent on God? Because if you're not dependent on God, then that's pride. We think we know better. We think we can make these right directions and decisions on our own. So God pictures the word pride as a way, a direction, a place that we're going. So pride goeth before destruction. And so when we depend on ourselves instead of depend on God, we're going to go in the wrong direction. It's good for you to go to church, but church doesn't give you necessarily the right direction. The direction is depending on God, not upon church. It's good to take the Lord's Supper, but taking the Lord's Supper doesn't give you the right direction. Depending on God gives you the right direction. We need to eliminate the negatives by depending on God instead of following the negatives. If pride says, I'm a good Christian in the church, I'm a good Christian outside the church, so I don't need to read my Bible. If God wants me to know something, He'll give it to me. I don't need to tithe. I'm just borrowing money from the Lord. He'll take care of me. No, all of that is just simply saying this. We know better than God. So what we really need to do is just humble ourselves. Realize that I need His help. I need His guidance. He's given the Holy Spirit to you and I to teach us, to guide us, to help us, to comfort us, to strengthen us. Oftentimes we think of the Holy Spirit as something that just comes in us to woohoo, make us feel wonderful. But that isn't what it's about. It's simply about depending on God. When we look at somebody and someone else, we'll look at their pride. But the truth is we don't need to look at other people. We need to look at ourselves. And then the third road is a haughty spirit. Verse 18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. A haughty spirit is scornful. It means to talk down to someone. This pictured here as a person walking as he's about to trip and fall. A haughty spirit before a fall. So here's this person. He's about to trip. He's about to fall. He's about to fall because he's tripping over his scornful condition. He's scorning others. He's judging others. He's talking down to others. He feels like he's better than others. Listen, I'm not better than anybody and I'm not worse than anybody. We're all the same. And we need to get that down in our heart and realize that we as human beings are all the same. None of us are God. None of us have the power of God. None of us have the understanding of God. So we just simply need to realize that we need to walk with Him and not judge other people. The Bible says, judge not lest thou be judged in the New Testament. So a haughty spirit is one who is scornful, who talks down to people. And the Bible teaches us that it's pictured as a man walking down the road about to trip and fall. So there are three people here. The upright living to do that which is God's commandment to do. And God gives us a way to escape. A proud person who's cocky and headed for destruction. Or a haughty person who's headed for a fall. These are the three ways, the three roads, or the three directions that God's giving us in these two verses. So God is concerned about many things in your life and in my life. And we need to walk in His way, in His truth, and in His power, and in His might, by humbling ourselves before Him and helping Him and letting Him help us think, speak, behave, and allow Him to control us rather than for us to control ourselves. It's been said this way for decades, maybe longer, but most of my Christian life. Let God have the steering wheel of your life rather than you steer your own life. That's what humility is all about. And God says we need to allow Him to be our leader. Will you tonight? Father, thank You for what we've learned. Holy Spirit, guide us and direct us.